Stampede Blue. What we talking about? Indianapolis, AFC South. Stampede Blue, let's air it out. Fly route, let's air it out. Topics, loaded like offense. Colt-centric, talking about it often. Stampede Blue, let's air it out. Fly route, let's air it out. Do it big, like lines for an offense. Colt-centric, don't take offense. Back in the day, Colts versus Dolphins. Nowadays, it's Jags playing Moffin South. AFC, white and blue, so pristine. Back concert like the color scheme. We talking AFC, emphasizing one team. And off season, see what it brings. One off season, closer to a ring. Like 07, trophy and rings. Matt Dainley hosting the Colts in this thing.
Welcome back to the Stampede Blue Colts cast, ladies and gentlemen. I'm your host, Matt Dainley. Thank you guys for joining me here again tonight. Obviously, we've got a lot to talk about as well. We've got some news, and I wanted to also go through a little bit of what we may or may not be able to expect from the Colts and their situation in the 2018 NFL draft, because we're looking at draft position here, and we're also looking at, you know, what some for instances that could happen. I mean, the Colts have a lot going for them. They also have some possible roadblocks in this thing, so I'm going to be running through a little bit about mainly the Colts' top pick at number three, options, possibilities, and also some, like I said, some roadblocks that could come in. So first and foremost, thank you guys for joining me. Thank you for continuing to share the show. That couldn't be more helpful for the show going forward, and that's just great, and I appreciate it from you guys. Let's look at, you know, the latest news here. The Colts have signed three coaches in the past few hours, which would be about 24 hours since you guys hear this. Alex Marvez was reporting that Ray Ventrone will be the special teams coach for the Colts, and Alan Williams will be a secondary coach for the Colts. Ventrone was the Patriots' assistant special teams coach, and Williams was the Lions' secondary coach, at least from the way I'm understanding it. Also, Reich added Dave Borgonzi from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. He's a defensive quality control coach who was 7 years in the NFL and apparently is going to be the linebackers coach per Field Yates. Also, Field, you know, kind of links up that the Colts are in desperate need of a top linebacker this year, so that's definitely going to be his area of expertise, and it's going to be needed because the Colts have, like I said, quite the situation going on there at linebacker. So it'll definitely be a contentious position as the Colts go forward. So that, you know, basically news wise, that's about it for the Colts today. Also, though, Vontae Davis apparently was healthy and ready to go, and has been taking some free agent visits. Apparently he went to the Buffalo Bills to try to get a free agency meeting there, our free agent meeting there, so to speak, to see if they're interested in him. I'm kind of indifferent on Vontae right now, to be quite honest with you guys. I think that most of you understand why, and I think most of you are as well. It's just the simple fact that he's just not the same player that he used to be. And I have a feeling that most teams that are looking at him are probably going to think the same as well. So, like I said, let's run through some of the Colts' situations here with the number three pick overall. Okay, obviously, the Cleveland Browns have the first pick. Now, a lot of this, and we've touched on this in the past, a lot of this centers around what Kirk Cousins is going to do, or more or less what other teams are going to do about Kirk Cousins is really the question here. Because Cleveland, of all teams, should be as or more motivated to go get Kirk Cousins, I would think. If we were fans of the Cleveland Browns, look, would you want them to go off over one of these guys in the draft and just that be your situation? Or would you rather have them go after, let's say, above average starting quarterback in the NFL who's proven to be able to be smart enough to play and get a team to the playoffs? I would probably do both. If I was the GM, I think that would be my approach. I would want to both sign Kirk Cousins and draft a first round quarterback, if that's their possibility, because they've got the first and fourth pick. Okay, that might eliminate them from going after a quarterback as their first overall pick, and then kind of just say, hey, we like all three of these guys. We're going to just kind of bring, you know, whoever's left or if we have more than one to choose from, then we'll choose then and do that with our number four pick. We don't know what they're going to do. But let's, just for instance, I mean, we could go with either one. Let's say that they don't draft a quarterback first. So that means that they're going to probably take Saquon Barkley. I would say that it would even be possible that they make Bradley Chubb the first overall pick. I mean, that is a possibility. If all this happens, you know, which is kind of crazy. Let's say that they do get Kirk Cousins, want to get Bradley Chubb, think he's the best player in the draft. Then they've got a pretty mean pass rush, you know, for the next several years there, having the number one last year and this year and doing that. So that goes to the New York Giants. They're probably going to go quarterback. The Colts in this situation, they don't have Bradley Chubb. They could go Saquon Barkley. They could go Minka Fitzpatrick. They could go whatever, Quentin Nelson, whoever you want to add in this slot. I mean, they could even go Tremaine Edmonds in this. But with only one quarterback off the market right now, as far as in this draft, the Colts wouldn't really have, I don't think, as much momentum to trade back, okay? Because I mean, picture this as well. Cleveland would have that four pick. They would ultimately have probably the second shot at a quarterback in this case, if everything stays the same. Denver, they're going to need a quarterback at that point. The Jets are going to need a quarterback at that point. I mean, they'd have options to go back to 5 and 6 still, the Colts would. But Cleveland would also be a potential spot, let's say, for the Jets to move up, okay? Now, natural intelligence tells you that go higher, get to Indianapolis, as opposed to going to Cleveland to make sure that you can get your quarterback. But we don't know how this crazy crap happens every single year. And I just got to thinking about this today, and I'm just thinking, there are so many different scenarios that could happen. And I'm kind of being stupid right now trying to go through one versus the other. But even if Cleveland goes with quarterback at number one, the Giants go quarterback at number two, we don't know where Kirk Cousins is at right now. And it's not just Kirk Cousins, but now A.J. McCarron's on the free agency market. Somebody might choose to sign him and also do the same thing. Go after a quarterback still. That could be any of these teams. Denver could do that. New York, the Jets could do that. They could all do that, but still be wanting a quarterback, but may not want to trade up to get him. So all this is going on. Now, what do you think? The Colts still trade back? Because then we go Tampa Bay at 7, Chicago, San Fran, Oakland, Miami, Cincinnati. I mean, Tampa doesn't need a quarterback. Chicago doesn't need one. San Francisco surely doesn't need one. Oakland, Miami, Cincinnati, Washington, Green Bay. The next possible trade partner, in my opinion, unless one of these teams want to trade for somebody else other than a quarterback, which is totally possible just the same. That doesn't necessarily mean that Indianapolis is going to be their partner, though. So if you're going for quarterback, though, Arizona would probably be the most tempted to trade high to go get a quarterback. What does this do for the Colts? Because like I said, Chubb could be off the board before the Colts, even at 3. Chubb could also kick down to the Colts, say, at 5 or 6. Cleveland could take him at 4, bypass Saquon Barkley. Now, that would be crazy, in my opinion, for them to do that if they hadn't gotten him in the first. But, I mean, the Colts really have an interesting situation playing out here, I think. We have to come up, and they have to come up, with 3, 4, 5 other guys, at least 3, that they would take in that first 6, 7 picks. So who would they go? If we talk about Nelson, nobody wants to draft a guard because guards don't have the value. Right, the guards. Quentin Nelson's not going to get the value because he's a guard. Guards don't go in the top 10. When they do, they just don't last. So that's typical thought. I can't get by with that because I think that Quentin Nelson's a special player. I think he's the top 3 player in this class for the most part, especially at his position. And you know, there are other guys out there though. Tremaine Edmonds, you guys know I've been harping on him. But seriously, if you haven't watched him and you just think that I'm crazy for bringing his name back up over and over, there's a legitimate shot that somebody thinks he's a better player all around than Bradley Chubb, because he can also play on the edge. Okay. And there are, I can't even remember who it was. It might have been Daniel Jeremiah that has him ranked at like his number two overall or third overall, I think. And I can't remember if he has him higher than Chubb. In fact, I think that he does. But think about that when we're looking at this whole spiel, because this is top six picks are going to be absolutely insane this year. Cleveland, you never know what they're going to do. They bypass quarterbacks all the time. That's why they're in the situation they're in. So is this new group with Dorsey as GM, is this going to change what they do? I mean, there's no way that the Colts are moving up to number one. Could somebody else want to move up to number one? That's the thing. Now, and also in that regard, what would the Colts have to where would the Colts' ceiling be as far as what they're getting back from whoever tries to trade up with them? Are they taking too much? Are they asking too much? You know, is that going to hamper anything? Do the Colts not even want to trade out of three? I've heard so many people do this. And look, being how crazy the draft and, I mean, just unpredictable it can be, do you trade out of three with a guaranteed spot to land one of the top 3 to 5 talents in this draft? I understand the argument. Because what if you just stay at three and take Chubb and, you know, if he's available, and you just move on and you go the rest of your draft the way you want to go? Maybe you trade that second round pick for an extra second round and, you know, maybe a third. Maybe, I mean, it just, I know that the common thought, and I share this thought, is to trade back and acquire picks, acquire more talent, help get this transition on the road, moving in the right direction, right? I'm with you. I share that. But we don't know that. I mean, look, Ballard's a determined dude. And if he thinks that Bradley Chubb is the guy, why would you trade back if there's an inkling in your head, even the slightest, that you could miss out on the guy that you think is the best player in the draft, can most help you in your next season? Why do you trade back? Right? I mean, you guys are going to hate Chris Ballard for trading back when he gets the guy that he thinks could turn, you know, the organization around, especially on defense. I can't fault him for that. I don't think that you guys can legitimately fault him for that either. But it is awful enticing to say, hey, yeah, I mean, I'll go back to six or five, still get Bradley Chubb, and get another guy, you know, with an extra second round pick and maybe even an extra third round pick and whatever else comes with that, depending on how bad either Denver or New York wants a quarterback. It will depend how much, you know, they offer, because future round picks or future first round pick is on the table, I would think. Maybe just a second, a third this year and maybe a second next year. I mean, we don't know exactly what the haul would be. But it would be helpful. It would help the Colts next year. If they could get a first round next year for that, I think that you have to do that. I think you have to do that. Because you're getting two first round picks next year, whereas you're still getting a top 5-6 player in this draft this year. You really are. And guess what? 3 to 4 of those guys are quarterbacks that these teams want. That's, so far, that's the situation. I don't know how you turn that down. I just don't. Because your entire rebuilding process depends on you adding more talent, especially young talent. We've got some good young talent right now, but if you can gain an extra corner out of that group to help fill out the bunch, you know, we don't have a corner right now opposite Wilson. You can get another corner to help with that transition. Maybe we bring Rashawn Melvin back. Maybe we don't. Maybe we bring another guy in free agency. We don't know. But that could be an extra corner. Maybe we get two corners out of this draft, and this second corner ends up being the guy, right? Second or third round pick, you know, you just never know. But they need so much help. They could get that and use that extra second round pick for a guard, then move on. I mean, there are so many situations. But the key to all of this is, what does Chris Ballard think is the right move? Because he's the guy making, he's the one whose job is on the line, right? We can say this, but if he sees a guy, probably who is Bradley Chubb, I mean, you would think, maybe it's Saquon Barkley that he wants. Maybe he thinks that this team needs a Saquon Barkley right now. Maybe it's a different guy. I just have this feeling that all the boards, because, I mean, if I'm not mistaken, we see this every year. Not only are the guys that we talk about really typically, and I mean we, like all of us, the podcast community, the listeners, any site you read, any draft Nick that you follow, that you enjoy listening to or reading, everybody's got different boards. A lot of them are very, very similar, right? But we see every year that different teams have very different boards from what any of us or any of the other people who are talking or writing about the draft, any of us have. And that is what really matters. That's what gets really interesting about this, okay? So, I mean, we don't know what their boards look like. We don't know what everybody else's board looks like, most importantly. And that's where things get really hairy. It's interesting. It's going to be interesting. But this number three pick has just got me, you know, I don't even know if I had a direction for this, quite honestly, when I came in here to record this. This number three pick just keeps feeling like it's giving me the side eye every time I think about it, because I just can't figure out what the Colts are going to do. I can't figure out where, you know, some of the free agents are going to go. And that's why a lot of this is really preliminary, because we don't know anything yet. Once the free agency period gets underway and people start landing in their new homes, a lot of this will become a lot clearer. So that's also a very valid point. So, guys, we're going to take a quick break. I'll be right back with the second half of the show. All right, guys, welcome back to the Colts Cast. In the second part of this show, the main reason that I started off with that third round talk is because it kind of in reverse order obviously leads us into the free agent market situation now. Some of the most interesting things that we are going to see this coming year are, how is Frank Reich going to run with that backfield, right? We don't expect Frank Gore to be back. We've got Marlon Mack. Robert Turbin, you know, maybe. But the Colts are either going to have to draft, or let me put it this way. I think the Colts are going to have to draft and sign a free agent, okay? So they're going to draft one. Let's forget about when they're going to do it. Let's look at what they can possibly do right now in free agency. You know, right now being in several, you know, what, 30 some days, the 14th of March. This is going to be a very, very interesting situation. Carlos Hyde, 26, is, you know, how many people are vying for his services? How much are they willing to give him? How much are the Colts willing to give him as well? I mean, we don't know. But look, Carlos Hyde is the biggest name out there. Jerick McKinnon, there's another possibility. The Colts have to get themselves another guy, okay? Now, looking, you know, at the age group, the age range, this is where I'm at. Le'Veon Bell's not coming, you know, anywhere close, in my opinion, to anywhere but Pittsburgh right now. Isaiah Crowell, nice back. Not great. Okay. I'm just not that. And I don't know. He'd have to have a really good offensive line. I felt like he had a pretty good offensive line to run behind in Cleveland. Maybe that's not the case. I don't know. But look, there's just not a lot to choose from. Bishop Sankey's not worth, you know, even looking at. Some of these other guys, Alfred Blue, he's 26. Other than that, there's not a whole lot that's in that age range that the Colts are really going to want. I just don't see, I mean, Alfred Morris, there's a guy, 29 years old already, though, right? Doesn't even seem like he's been in the league that long. Colts aren't going that, they're not going that old in free agency. That's not going to be Chris Ballard's approach. So running back, what do the Colts do? Do they do that? Do they implement, you know, a fullback situation and maybe bring in Rex Burkhead, even though that was kind of the idea of the thought process behind what maybe McDaniels would have done? I think that some of that still falls true with what the Colts are going to end up doing with Reich. Ultimately, LeGarrette Blount's not a fullback, but he certainly played the role of a fullback a lot of the times. So that's kind of, you know, something else that we're looking at as well. We're looking at wide receivers now. We've talked about some of these guys in the recent past, but we got to revisit these guys every year or every so often. Sammy Watkins, I'm just not on him. Okay. We've talked about him. He's a viable option. He's just not, in my opinion, you know, what the Colts need. We've got a 24-year-old receiver that they could bring back if the parties agree, and that's Dante Moncrief. He hasn't lived up to his expectations. Sammy Watkins were much higher, and he hasn't done much more, to be quite honest with you, than Dante Moncrief has, aside from, you know, score touchdowns, which is obviously the goal. But in the end, he just hasn't done as much, you know, as much anywhere near what he was expected to do, what his ceiling was expected. Allen Robinson is a viable option. We've talked about some of these. Albert Wilson, I'm not a Jordan Matthews fan. I was at the draft when he came out in the draft. I'm not from what I've seen of him in the NFL. Paul Richardson, another interesting one, guys. The Colts need some guys who can be possession receivers, some guys who can get touchdowns, and we need some guys who can create yards after the catch. Paul Richardson's a very underrated guy this year. You know, he kind of seems like he's in that 28, 29-year-old range. He's 25. I didn't expect that, to be quite honest with you. Just not a guy that I constantly am thinking about. And I don't think that anybody is. He's going to go under the radar this time, and I think that somebody's going to pick him up and be pretty happy with him. 700 yards receiving, like I said, kind of under the radar. Another guy, Cody Lattimore. Not a big name. I don't think that the Broncos will bring him back. They haven't been really excited with him. He did kind of come on, you know, a little bit last season and catch some balls, but, you know, even he has not lived up to his expectations. He's got a nice little average at 15.1 per reception throughout his career. That's just not going to get it, though, okay? Jarvis Landry's another guy. Not much yak, but 9 touchdowns last year. Played all 16 games, almost 1,000 yards receiving. You got to consider all that. And he caught a ton of balls, a ton, right? He is one of the most kind of hit and miss. He's the one that makes you feel like he'd give you the most possibility, but he could also have, you know, kind of the worst turnout. I don't know what it is. But Jarvis Landry would be a target as well. There's going to be a lot. Look, the Colts need a receiver, guys, okay? Because right now, what do they got? They got Hilton and Rodgers under contract that are legitimately worth it, right? They're going to need at least one guy, possibly two, in this free agent class. They don't have to be big-time guys. But there's other guys. Marquise Lee. I don't know. Do you go get him? Get a guy like that? Maybe Taylor Gabriel, 26 years old? I mean, there's plenty of guys out there. You know, I don't think that Michael Campanaro or Jeff Janis are guys that the Colts might go. But look, John Brown from Arizona. I mean, there's some options that are not old guys in the league. Okay. The Colts are going to have to get, like I said, at least one or two of these guys. If they can get one or two of these guys, then I think that they are really in pretty good shape. I really do, because that sets them in a position for being able to draft one that doesn't have to be a reach. They can draft a guy with a little bit of play now, little plug and play, and a little bit of expectation. And I think that's probably key for the Colts. Get another guy that can kind of give you a bump for a year, see where he's at, but get that guy who can learn and has the right physique for it, and the right speed and the right hands and all that stuff, you know, that may not be an immediate plug and play guy, but he can definitely give you, you know, some serious potential for late in the next year and then the years to follow. Now, let's look at free agency in the offensive line. This is another thing, right? Cameron Fleming, 25-year-old tackle from New England. He's probably one of the better tackle options, I guess you could say, in all of this free agency. Obviously, the big guy is Andrew Norwell, the guard from Carolina. He's only 26. These guys are going to be pretty much, I mean, these guys are going to be like deer out in the middle of the pastures. Everybody's hunting for a lineman right now. There's some linemen in this draft that are going to be very good, but everybody's going to be focusing on free agency, trying to get some of these guys in there. The Colts absolutely, honestly, 100% have to throw the book at Norwell. They have to, because if they can get a guy like Norwell to sign with them, that puts them in an immediate top position, you know, as far as I'm concerned, in being able to rebuild quicker rather than later. They're going to have guys that are have the ability to, you know, get drafted, play later, play now, even be in a rotation of some sort. You know, people get injured all the time. We see it all the time. But having a guy like Norwell anchor that inside, we can get rid of some of the guys that we've got right now just off the jump. And it allows him some flexibility to maybe wait third round to get a guard or to get a tackle. They could get those two guys. I think the Colts are in really pretty good shape moving forward, at least along the offensive line, and would allow them, like I said, a little bit of leniency for what they plan to do in the draft. Now, looking at the defensive line, this is where it gets, you know, pretty interesting, right? DeMarcus Lawrence, 25 years old. A lot of people think that he is, you know, kind of a guy that's probably going to be targeted by the Colts, especially with Matt Eberflus running the new defense and everything, the familiarity, all of that. Man, there's some guys here. Coney Ealy, he came up. I mean, what? Carolina got rid of him. He went to the Patriots. Didn't do much there. He went to the Jets. Looked pretty good. There's some guys that are in this group that aren't talked about very often that could be some solid defensive line additions. Now, what the Colts need is a 4-3 DN, right? They need maybe another tackle. Who are they going to go after to do this? Because, look, the Colts have a rotation, right? They've got the rotational guys. Hassan Ridgeway, for the most part, is a rotational guy. Grover Stewart, second-year guy, mostly a rotational guy. What are they going to do with Al Woods? Does he no longer have a role in here, or is he going to be a D-tackle as well, you know, with the inside? I don't know. That he seems to be one that's kind of on the fence to me about what's going on in the future. But you got Jonathan Hankins. Then you've got to spread out and go to your 3 and 5 techs and even your 6. You know, I mean, these guys are going to be spread, and it's going to be a whole new look. We're not used to it. So, you know, what do they do? Do they go after even – I mean, look, consider this. Do they even go after a Dontari Poe? Would that be crazy? Getting both of those guys, having two nose tackles working in there, that would be nuts, right? And I think that both those guys, Hankins and Poe, have the ability to get to the quarterback enough to where that'd be a formidable both run defense and pass, you know, some pass rush out of there. But Sheldon Richardson, the very interesting guy, Alex Okafor. I mean, there's just some guys that definitely have some interest in here that I think, you know, for the most part would be guys who they – you know, would at least consider adding. I don't think that they would definitely do it or not, but, you know, I think when you get to the next position, which is cornerback, I think that's where, you know, a lot of it really gets kind of interesting, because there's guys like Kyle Fuller there, EJ Gaines. Now think about this. If Vontae Davis goes to Buffalo, they're going to get rid of EJ Gaines, and they're going to get, you know, an old guy. EJ Gaines is 25 and about to hit free agency. I would think that they would want to re-sign him. But there's, look, Ross Cockrell's available. I think there's Philip Roby, Nickel Roby Coleman. He's a pretty solid opportunity. Philip Gaines, he's not terrible. There's Bashaud Breeland. I mean, there is a lot of guys that the Colts could heavily pursue. I think they're crazy if they don't spend some money at corner. I really do. And you know what? Spend a little more. Colts have, upwards of $80 million? I mean, throw some money at a couple of these guys. I would. I think that they're crazy not to. And you can still draft. Draft one. You know, they got, man, look, the Colts ultimately got really lucky, right? They got Quincy Wilson. Didn't play much last year because, you know, whatever was the reason. He was hurt sometimes, but, you know, the rest of the time was, you know, quite a question mark. But they also got a lot more production out of Nate Harrison than they ever expected to. Got a new starting nickel guy, and now you're going on to these guys. I mean, look, even a guy, let's look at Justin Bethel from Arizona, 27. Malcolm Butler, 27. I mean, there's a ton of guys. There's a ton of them that could really help this team make the transition. Ultimately, you want a guy that's a little younger. I think that's, you know, respectable. And I mean, I just think that's responsible, you know, for the most part, for them to go young as possible. But if you can get a guy who's still been healthy throughout his, you know, career, isn't old, and can, you know, come to play and has a good reputation of being a hard worker and you know, gets his hand on the ball and plays a lot of games and stays healthy, I think you've got to bring in that guy. You know, bring him in for a two-year bridge and keep drafting corners. I think that's the only thing that you can do if you're Chris Ballard right now, because, look, that's, I mean, an absolute must to get better coverage on the outside. And if you're not going to re-sign Rashawn Melvin, you better get somebody who's young, because he's not that old, and he just came off his best year. Yes, he's going to get paid, but we're not broke at all. Not even close. Colts have a ton of money. Looking at linebackers, Colts really have to have a linebacker. Looking at some guys right now, I just wrote a piece on second-year players. On the first one, I'm writing the 2017 draft picks, what's going to be expected of them in this new scheme. Tomorrow or the day after, I'm going to put up one of the second-year players, the first free agency class that Chris Ballard signed. But we're looking at basically a clean slate at inside linebacker for this new scheme, right? Do the Colts draft one? We don't know. Look, we're looking at free agency to see what they do. Even if they do some buying in free agency at the middle linebacker, that does not mean that the Colts aren't looking to draft one either. That just might not make them draft one as early as the first round or second round. I mean, Anthony Hitchens, he's available. Another guy, been connected. Okay? The Colts could really get a nice smooth over between changing schemes, changing head coaches, changing everything, and get a 25-year-old stud at inside linebacker. The biggest thing with him, I think you're going to get your tackles. You're going to occasionally get him into the backfield, get a piece of the quarterback. I think that maybe, you know, I think he's every bit as good as anybody. Another guy that I've talked about, that others are talking about, Avery Williamson. I've been talking about Preston Brown a little bit, not quite as loudly, but both of those two guys have played 16 games last year. Now, Preston Brown, 144 tackles last year. That's 50 more than Williamson. That's 60 more than Hitchens last year. Different scheme, very true. I understand all that. Preston Brown, though, man, that's a guy right there who is a dedicated run stopper. There's no question about it. John Bostic is a guy who's now, you know, available, so to speak. And I don't see, maybe the Colts bring him back, maybe they don't. I don't really know. I just don't think that you're going in that direction. That's not the kind of guy you want right now. He was a good bridge guy to get you through the last year, I suppose. And he even came on really strong at the end of the year last year. So give him credit for that. But the Colts have to get, you know, really good at linebacker to be effective in this scheme. And free agency might be the first, you know, the first strike at trying to massively upgrade that linebacking core. Because, look, even Anthony Walker, this was kind of what I was alluding to earlier. Anthony Walker, what is he, you know, what is he doing? Where is he at? I mean, we don't know. We saw very, very little of him as far as playing the middle linebacker last year. He didn't do too bad in the early parts of the season, but after he got hurt, he came back. He basically just played special teams. A lot of what he did was special teams. So a lot of that is, you know, something we need to consider as well. He's very, very important to the structure of this defense. And if he can't make the transition smoothly, the Colts can't look back and go, man, we just don't have an inside linebacker now. We just don't have a middle guy. That can't be the case. That can't happen. Chris Ballard can't let that happen. Chris Ballard has to do something both in free agency and the draft to address the linebacker, specifically the middle linebacking role. Outside linebackers, there's an inside linebacker, Jeremiah George. We've talked about that. I think that he could be a smooth transition to an outside linebacker in this scheme. I think he's pretty solid at rushing the passer not great, but I think he's pretty decent at it. You know, and basically I think that John Simon would possibly end up being that as well. Now, he is an outside linebacker, but he's a 3-4 outside linebacker. Not terribly different, but the one thing that kind of makes me worry about him is it just kind of seems like that was his role. That is what he is going to be doing in the NFL, is being a 3-4 outside linebacker. Does he really want to make that change? It's, you know, he's under contract. It's not necessarily up to him, but I mean, he's going to have to be adaptable, very much so, in this new scheme. And that's, you know, kind of a problem, I think. You know, we don't know how versatile he actually is. We know that he can play some inside linebacker and stuff like that. He can play outside linebacker. I would be interested in seeing him rush the passer a little bit this year, to be quite honest with you. My biggest fear is that he gets relegated to a very much of a coverage role and just doesn't play very well. That's, you know, that's one of my worries. But those are kind of the positions, guys, that I'm most interested in. There's a lot of guys that are going to be drawing interest in free agency. Chris Ballard is a guy who is going to have to be that guy. And if he doesn't be that guy, the Colts are going to be in a lot of trouble. So I think once we get everybody in order and we get everybody in this this mode for free agency, and once free agency's passed, then we can really focus on the draft. Because this free agency, look, guys, it's looming, and it's looming long and hard, and it's going to be, you know, it's going to make a big difference. And what the Colts do from year one to year two under, you know, Chris Ballard, a new head coach, you know, isn't going to affect the offense free agency, I don't think, nearly as much. This defense is really what needs the entire overhaul, because, I mean, the offense we've got for the most part, our tight ends, I think Swope is probably, yeah, I mean, just common knowledge from where we're at right now, is going to be the guy. In that role as well. Jack Doyle, they've got him. Obviously, you guys know exactly what I think about Jack Doyle. I mean, Jack Doyle has been a fantastic tight end all the way through. And the one guy who super intrigues me even more right now is Ross Travis. I think that he, at 25 years old, 2 years in the league, he makes for a very interesting conversation next year. What can he do? How versatile is he with his routes? Is he a good route runner? Can he pick up speed? Big 6'7", lanky guy. I think he's going to be a really fun one to watch. I really, really, really do next year. So keep your eyes out on that as well. But today was just basically a news and listening to me jabber for 35 minutes or so. So I hope you guys enjoyed it, and we'll have more conversation about this most definitely in the near future. But we really have to get started on thinking about free agency with all these guys. And that's kind of why I was doing the two-part series. You know, wanted to look at the second-year players, mainly the guys who got drafted last year, but I'm also going to look at the second-year players and what kind of a system these guys are going to be able to incorporate themselves in, who are in the second year of their contracts with the Colts. And I'll probably include some of these other guys too, because I think some of them are going to fail as far as to kind of fit in. And I think others are going to really flourish. And I think it's quite interesting as well. So thank you guys all for listening. We're going to take you guys out again to the new jam. And thank you guys. We'll talk to you again next week right here on the Coltscast. Let's air it out. Fly route. Let's air it out. Topics. Loaded like offense. Colt-centric. Talk about it often. Stampede Blue. Let's air it out. Fly route. Let's air it out. Do it big. Like lines for an offense. Colt-centric, don't take offense. Back in the day, Colts versus Dolphins. Nowadays, it's Jags playing mocked in South. AFC, white and blue, so pristine. Matt Carson like the color scheme. We talking AFC, emphasizing one team. In off-season, see what it brings. One off-season, closer to a ring. Like 07, trophy and rings. Matt Dainley hosting the Colts in this thing.